Hi everyone. In this short presentation, I am planning to talk about transformation of political regime in Turkey and most importantly, reactions of and response of political opposition in the country against this transformation. And I am planning to discuss especially several turning points in the transformation of the political protest in the country, and how actually political opposition reacted this imposition of this new political regime. Therefore, I will first of all very shortly give you a cornerstones of the new political system in the country, how this new political system has been introduced after 2017 constitutional amendment, what are its basic political institutional aspects, and then I will try to give a picture of the political opposition. We can say that before beginning to discuss the country-specific cases and the Turkish case actually, and I would like to just very shortly remind the fact that the opposition is a very much neglected issue, and in all the new literature on authoritarianism. Actually, rather it's about populism, or it's about political new political figures, Putin, Trump, Erdogan, and etc., or new authoritarian political institutional settings or not. I mean, all these literature more or less neglect the role of the reactions of the political opposition, because there's a kind of hidden assumption, or sometimes it's not so hidden. It's very clearly formulated that the transition from opposition from authoritarianism to democracy, the role of the opposition is actually evaluated as a very minor issue in that sense. So I think it says this kind of perspective has very important fragility, and also has some kind of methodological fallacies as well, and methodological problems as well. I believe that both for the transformation from authoritarian regime to democracy, and also for the future of every authoritarian regime, understanding the role of the political opposition is highly important. In that sense, I have another question in my mind, two different questions in my mind. One of them is how actually opposition functions under oppositional authoritarian settings, and second one is what we can learn, what kind of insights we can derive from the opposition which functions under authoritarian settings. So to answer these two questions, I will put an emphasis about three important concepts in my presentation. One of them is radical imagination, another one is affirmative resistance, and the third one is insurgent democracy or insurgent citizenship, which depends on the idea of insurgent democracy. I will try to clarify all these conceptual issues as well, especially when I will discuss the Gezi uprising and afterwards. And let's start with the definition of the political regime in Turkey. So I'm sure you also know about what's going on in the country, especially after the 2017 constitutional referendum. There are several crucial turning points to understand the imposition or introduction of a new political regime in Turkey. One of them is the 2016 State of Emergency Declaration. Another one is the 2017 constitutional amendment and constitutional referendum. These two historical turning points actually gives a chance to government to introduce, and Erdogan as well, introduce a new political regime in the country. This new political system actually is very simple, which depends on the supreme power of the leader and also extremely weak parliament and elections of a plebiscitary character. So the 2017 constitutional amendment reduced the role of the legislation. Country was a parliamentary democracy before, and this new constitution amendment almost dissolved the parliament, role of the power of the political parliament in the system, and also provided a kind of superpower to the political leader, to Erdogan, to control judiciary and legislative at the same time. He will be ahead of his party, and then this means that he can have a chance, he will have a chance to directly to control the legislation if his party is in majority. This is the situation right now. And also he is appointing almost more than half of the members of the Constitutional Court and also at the same time board of judges and prosecutors. This means that he can directly also control the judiciary. And at the same time, the process for the impeachment is almost impossible. You need a more than 400 vote of the more than 400 MPs, and this makes the impeachment process almost impossible. And the president appointing the almost all important state administrators, ministers, heads of the university, ambassadors, etc. and etc. You can easily see these aspects in any kind of article about the new political regime in Turkey. And you can clearly have see a picture that the president has a kind of supreme position and supreme power to control every state organization. So it depends on the system depends on the institutionalization of a kind of unbounded executive power, we can say. And also presidentialization of the leadership and presidentialization of the whole political system. Another political aspect is the erosion of constitutionalism, which eliminates and or we can say suspends the separation of power in the country, and which depends on the erosion of constitutionalism. And also it depends on repression of the power of intermediary institution, which means the repression of the trade unions, free media, state bureaucracy, and also political parties as well. I mean, with the introduction of new political system, we also observe that the power of the AKP is also decreasing, actually. I mean, the power of the AKP became totally dependent on political function and role and the power of the president as well, President Erdogan as well. So he directly captured whole political machine, actually. As I said, another important aspect of the new political system is elections of a plebiscitary character. And it depends on transformation of whole political election into an approval or disapproval of the trust to the leader. In this kind of political system, it's necessary to get more than 50% of the vote, and to get the approval of the trust actually from the people who is supporting you. Therefore, I am saying that it has a plebiscitary character. Not, of course, every election is a plebiscite in the country. Of course, we cannot say this, but every election has a plebiscitary character in the country. We can say this as well. And this political elections also embodies different understanding of the representation mentality, different from presidential or parliamentary system. We can say it depends on symbolic representation of the real people, which is reinforced by symbolic identification between leader and the masses. This is also not so unique to the Turkey. You can also see this kind of mentality of symbolic representation within the discourse of either Trump or Orban, but Erdogan is very well articulate this mentality with his discourse of milli irade, national will, which embodies a kind of symbolic representation, which actually a kind of self-authorizing representation mentality. And it depends on the manufacturing of public opinion and the majoritarian will. These are the main aspects of new political system in the country. So to reiterate, we have a strong executive, we have at the same time very weak parliament, and we have highly controlled judiciary, and we have elections which turned into a kind of plebiscite at the same time. And we should add to this picture another dimension, also Islamization of the political whole, Islamization of the society, and also Turkish imposition of the Turkish Islamic ideology. These are the two main axes which creates a huge clashes in the country, which creates a huge clavages around the issue of new political regime, around the lifestyle differences, around the issue of recognition. There are also several crucial transformation moments or turning points for the political opposition as well. And as I said, increasing pressures on lifestyle, transformation of living areas, commodification of urban landscape, denial of differences, imposition of devout Turkish Islamic identity and transformation of political system creates a highly strong cleavages within both society and also at the political arena as well. We witness both political polarization and also political clashes in the political arena as well. So there are several crucial turning points for the opposition. One of them is May-June 2013 Gezi Uprising. Another one is March for Justice in 2017, Adalet Yürüyüşü in Turkish. And also the other one is June 2019 rerun local election, Istanbul election actually. I classify the response of the political opposition to this new political regime under three subtypes. One of them is minoritarian politics. I will discuss this under the Gezi Uprising. And another one is insurgent citizenships. And the last one is the new politics of party alliance. And Gezi is a kind of critical turning point to understand the transformation of political protest culture in the country. Why it is so important, actually, we can raise that. It's also on the same level with Occupy. It's a kind of have similar characteristics with the Arab Spring, Occupy movements, and etc. And it's very important to understand this transformation because it played a highly crucial role in the formation of kind of new political subjectivities and the emergence of new politics of becoming. It introduced a new kind of political subjectivity and also at the same time new politics of becoming, which means that it's enabled disidentification of the political subjects from their original class and political group habitus and made possible the emergence of new forms of agency in streets and parks during times of resistance. The Gezi is started because of the municipalities' attempt to destroy park in the center of the Istanbul, and it started with the reactions of the people, and then it spread all over the country. But its importance derived from, I think, comes from not only from its widespreadness, but also because its introduction of new political subjectivity, as I said. It's a kind of new political resistance which embodies a minoritarian politics in a Deleuzian sense that is based on the rejection of symbolically and discursively over-institutionalized identity politics in the country. So Turkish politics, right after the 1980s, organized mainly around the clashes around the identities, which gives a chance to actually express political minorities their own identity and also the against this imposition of Turkish Islamic identity. But on the other hand, and the Turkish politics got stuck around these political clashes around the identity. So Gezi introduced a kind of new political dimension within this identity struggle, rather than totally rejecting the existing identities, but introduced the new forms of politics which gives chance to express these political identities and which gives chance to build different and new political together and forms of political togetherness, we can say. It's a rejection of logic of force in the political system, which depends on the imposition of the political power and also, in a Weberian sense, macht politics, actually. And it introduced formation of new transverse identities. It's another very important concept. I mean, with this introduction of this transverse identities, which became only possible for participants resisting together, which means new forms of being a Kurd, being a woman, being Alevi, or being LGBTI in a different way, actually. It's not a moment of initiating, undertaking, or empathizing with others. It was a rather moment of creating indiscernibility by resisting together, which we can say that retreating into the unperceivable with the creation of new ways of seeing and doing, and with the introduction and the production of new language at the same time. Therefore, I say that it's a kind of moment of radical imagination. People produced a new boat, a new language to express their anger, their feelings, and also their ideas. And also, it's an introduction of new way of seeing things. To make clear the difference, actually, we have to understand, in general, the political protest culture in the country. Up until, actually, Gezi, the protest tradition was generally composed of classical organizational methods. I mean, use of old repertoire of collective action, such as I said, rallies, demonstrations, strikes, and press briefings and statements, and the dominance of classical leftist tradition, which is oriented to capture state power. And besides its highly hierarchical nature, this old left tradition has been criticized because of its dependence on moralistic attitudes, its embodiment of ascetic practices, and its sublimation of martyrdom. So, against all this dominant value system in political protest, Gezi movement introduced different kind of ethical both value system, which is more affirmative on the aspect of resistance. Affirmative, I mean, which is affirming the life against the other kind of reactionary attitudes, and also which introduced more radical imagination strategies against classical political opposition tactics. The second important topic which I want to discuss under the political opposition is insurgent citizenship movements. So this is the second aspect of political opposition in the country, which includes political and social groups who challenged current authoritarian policies on a range of issues, including the environment, justice, livelihood, secularism, gender, sexuality, and civil liberties, which is more related with the active citizenship and insurgent citizenship movements against the imposition of the new political regime, which has a strong civic dimension. And also we can see this kind of strong civic and anti-violent dimension within Gezi movement as well, but it's more related about protecting the citizenship rights in the country and introducing new collective action repertoire against the political opposition and to protect the political rights and equalities in the country. And this moment, we can see the existence and strength of this moment, especially during the times of the elections, actually. For instance, the civil society organizations organized around monitoring the elections, like Oy ve Ötesi, Vote and Beyond, can be seen as a clear example of this kind of response organized around insurgent citizenship moments, so to say. And the last one I would like to mention is a kind of new politics of party alliance. And as a reaction to imposition of the new political regime, the main opposition party, CHP, getting into alliance with the E Party, Good Party, which is Nationalist Party, and also with the support of Saadet Partisi, but mainly with the de facto support of actually the Kurdish party during and the Kurdish getting the Kurdish votes during election times. It's a kind of new party alliance strategy working in the field of representation. So there are three important, you can say, dimensions, and one of them is minoritarian politics, which based on introduction of the new politics of becoming, and also which based on introduction of new techniques of political protest, which depends on some kind of radical imagination, more affirmative resistance strategies, and also insurgent citizenship movements, which depends on the protection of citizenship rights and which resembles more classical social movements, but it's different from the classical social movements, based more on the protection of citizenship rights and the mobilization of the citizens to fight against the imposition of authoritarianism. And the other one works more on the field of representation, the politics of party alliance. So there is both opposition both in the field of representation and also at the same time outside of the political representation. I think both of them are very important, but if we want to understand the future of the political regime and also the political opposition, we should try to understand more the dynamics, political opposition dynamics working outside the political field of political representation. Because in Turkish they say it's a kind of deep dalga, some kind of energy coming below which try to transform the political field of political representation, political parties, political leaders, etc. So we see a kind of constant flow, I can say, from the politics of becoming to the politics of alliance. So the classical political opposition parties, Republican People's Party, for instance, try to canalize all this energy coming from new politics of becoming, new minoritarian politics into, or energy coming from insurgent citizenship into the classical party alliance, new classical party alliance system, and etc. But they are not very successful. I can say they are not very successful so far. Because the classical system of representation is not structured well enough to absorb this kind of new political energy or new kind of political opposition tactics and strategies, new affirmative and also more radical political opposition and also insurgent citizenship as well. So, when and why the political opposition is successful against the imposition of new political regime, and why and how it fails to against this kind of this imposition of the authoritarian political structure. As I said before, this new politics of becoming is highly successful insofar as it introduced new forms of political subjectification and new forms of political togetherness, because all these new forms of togetherness actually enabled political subjects to disidentify themselves from their original class and political group habitus, and made possible the emergence of new forms of agency into Turkey. So if you look at the Turkish politics, you can easily see that there are several strong, highly strong political groups and also accompanying political group habitus as well. I mean, if you look at the Turkish politics, you can see that the political groups are organized around ethnicity, religion, diversity, and etc., and other kind of diversities as well. But it is dominated by political group based on religion, especially religion and ethnicity. This new forms of politics of becoming is highly successful when it actually challenged successfully this kind of political group formation and group habitus. What I mean by political group habitus, it refers to social and political dispositions based on political imaginations, conventional opinions, and emotional orientations of group members, which determine both group identity and group orientation towards supposed others. So Turkish politics is a kind of politics dominated by, we can say, stereotyped group images. It seems it's a kind of common characteristics you can see in every aspect of the Turkish politics. Another one is, it's a successful, this new politics of becoming is successful insofar it displays the well-established dualities and identity politics, as I said. So, and the Turkish politics is also organized around the clashes between these dichotomies. On the one hand, the the people and the elite, communist forces and so-called conservative Democrats, as well as authoritarian secularists and liberal democratic devout Sunni Muslims and etc. So, and this new politics of becoming actually challenged these dichotomies and introduced new kind of political subjectivity. And it actually transformed the political culture rather than following the ascetic practices of the old left. It introduced new forms of political protest and becoming organized around more civic identity, we can say. And also it realized a new kind of affirmative spirit rather than following the reactionary attitude and getting stuck in the friend-enemy dichotomy. This new politics of existence introduced new affirmative spirit, which based on affirming the life and values related. It depends on the institutionalization of new forms of activism. And this is the dimension which is actually Gezi found its repercussions afterwards. You can see that after the Gezi, rise of the especially online and offline activism in the Turkey. But after the escalation of the authoritarianism, rather than offline activism, which is the normal activism, like the rallies, strikes, and because of the actually police brutality, we see the decrease of this classical political protest and the increase of the digital activism, especially online activism. As I said, this online activism is more related with the idea of insurgent citizenship. It's based on the reaction of the people acting as a citizen and without naming itself as we are acting as citizen, but sometimes they are openly saying that we are trying to protect our citizenship rights, especially in the election times. And in that sense, the election, especially local elections, became the turning point. The clear example of this new forms of activism, online activism, can be seen as Oy Votesi, can be seen as a clear example of this as extension of actually this online activism, which is organized to monitor and protect the safety and results of the elections. Oy Votesi firstly organized during the 2014 local elections, and they took Istanbul as a pilot city in these local elections, and then they extended its operations to four other regions in parliamentary elections in June 2015, and they mobilized nearly 30,000 citizens and became a showcase of merging online and offline activism, as discussed in the articles of Erkan Saka. According to spokesperson, they stated they have three targets. The first objective of the movement was to increase voter turnout. The second one was to facilitate the link between candidates and voters. And third one was the election monitoring. Actually, the group became a kind of ordinary citizens' organization, which see themselves as responsible for the state of democratic system in Turkey, and also which is political rather than civil and political organization, which embraced the idea of insurgent citizenship against the imposition of authoritarianism in the country. So, considering all these issues, Gezi uprising, the following transformation of the political protest culture, and more social movements kind of organizations following the idea of insurgent citizenship like Oy Votesi or the online activism in the online field, and what we can derive from all these new forms of political opposition, what we can say about the future of the political opposition in Turkey, considering all these different dimensions of political opposition. It's not very easy to answer this question, but we can derive some insights from all these new aspect of political protest and political opposition in the country. And first of all, I can say that the importance of the political opposition outside the field of representation is increasing, especially after the Gezi uprising. We saw clearly that the both online and offline, considering online and offline political opposition outside of field of representation, is highly important to understand the political opposition dynamics and political energy against the imposition of the new political system in the country. Even if all these dynamics and political energy organized outside the political field is not well organized enough to challenge the political system and also the field of representation, it has a huge impact on the field of representation of, and also imposition of authoritarian policies as well. I think we cannot neglect the role of the strength of this insurgent citizenship movements and just focus on political parties. This doesn't mean that political parties is totally useless, rather it's highly functional, but the political parties also gains its strength from the political opposition outside the field of representation. When they meet actually with this kind of political dynamic in the country, especially when they find a way and when they introduce new institutional ways to merge with this political opposition, with this political dynamics outside the field of representation, they became highly effectual in challenging the new authoritarian system and regime. People's Democracy Party, HDP, can be seen as a clear example of this. In 2015 election, party highly successfully mobilized people and also find a way to meet with the dynamics actually originating from the Gezi uprising and find a way to canalize to all this innovative and affirmative spirit and radical imagination into the party policies and cross the election threshold. Even if the party's vote just above the 10%, and it's a huge success, the impact of this energy and impact of this new political opposition within the party actually, and is highly influential in providing a party an alternative against the authoritarian political regime. And also CHP is also successful, as in the cases of Adalet Yürüyüşü, insofar as it finds the way to meet with this new political dynamic, this new politics of becoming, as I try to explain in my presentation. So insofar as these political normal actors of the political system, like the political parties or trade unions, insofar as they learn to derive insights from this new politics of becoming and also politics of resistance, more affirmative resistance forms, they became highly successful actually against the new authoritarian regime. But this doesn't mean that there's no problem within also the political opposition, which located outside the classical field of representation. Even if they are outside of the institutional field of institutional representation, I mean the party politics, of course you can see the traces of this representation mentality or the political group habitus within this dynamic as well. This new politics of becoming also successful insofar as it challenged the group habitus mentality imposed by, especially by political parties and also technicians of opinions as well, opinion makers. So what are the fragilities of opposition vis-a-vis the current authoritarian regime? As you know, the political opposition in the field of, especially in the field of representation in the country, is very much divided, and also it has said in conflicts and struggles as well. You can also clearly see that I'm talking about more about the political parties, as you can clearly see the dominance of nationalism, statism, and also symbolic politics as well. So considering all these fragilities and considering all these two different and strong dimensions of the political opposition in the country, one of them located outside the field of representation and other one within the field of representation, The missing link is still the formulation of a comprehensive democratic project to build a new power block among all those who are excluded and repressed by these authoritarian policies. So the political opposition still lacks a well-organized democratic political corpus and also spirit in this twilight zone of escalating state violence. And also it has a kind of, still it has a problem of producing a new, more than intellectual political leadership. In this situation, the future of the new political regime, I think, depends on several criteria. One of them is the durability of the, of course, nationalist alliance. Another one is the sustainability of frontier economic and political networks. The other one is, of course, continuation of mass support for Erdogan among our urban poor. But the most important one is actually is related with the capability of the political opposition. Not only about capability of Erdogan or AKP or authoritarian political system in imposing these authoritarian political implementations. In that sense, it is very important to understand the strength of the political opposition in the Turkish context. The opposition is both the problem at the institutional level, if you look at the CHP, and also it's a solution. It's a, which means that it's the organization of the whole political system within a more around more democratic principle is unavoidably connected with the organization of the democratic opposition in the country. Which means that also the transformation of the opposition in line with democratic principles at the same time too. In that context, the two dimensions of the opposition is internally connected. Dimension which is more related with the politics of becoming and which embraces the idea of affirmative resistance, radical imagination and democratic principle. And also the other dimension is related with more party politics. Two dimensions is internally connected, and also it will be the opposition will be structured more around the democratic principle insofar as the first dimension find a way to restructure the second one, institutional dimension, or create new political institution to express democratic principle, and insofar as the second one find a way to embrace, restructure itself around democratic principle and find a way to embrace these new democratic political dynamics, which depends more on the idea of democracy against the state, the idea of democracy based on equality and freedom. Thank you for listening.